that the, just once again, the Rambam mentions like this. The Rambam starts off, he says that another is in between, is directly in between. See, that's the problem with it. Rambam says another is directly in between. In between Gaiva and in between Shiftus. He says like this. He says that one side is Gaiva, one side is Shiftus. He says, and we already explained in our introduction, fourth parak, that a person should many times a person has to go to, in a midah, in a characteristic, a person has to go to one side or the other in order to wind up in the middle. Okay. So if he's too much of a baltaiva, so he has to be merachek manataiva. Then once he's merachek manataiva, then he could wind up in the in-between. He says, except over here, he says. Why? Because of the terrible nature of this midah, and because of the Chachamim really frowned and despised, looked down upon this midah to such a great degree, so they said that so they went completely to the opposite side, which is shiftless. Shiftless means that a person has a very low esteem of oneself. They shouldn't have any type of haughtiness whatsoever. Okay. Yeah. But now let's go a little further. Let's just remember what he said, and let's just go a little further, okay? The story, he goes like this. Says, now, I'd like to mention a few of the things that the Chachamim say about the praise that they give to Anova, and how they deprecate Gaiva. Lefikach tzivazel is karev leshiflus harua. Therefore, they said that a person should be very, very humble isn't the word, because humble really is Anova. But shiflus must be modest is Anova. Shiftless or ruach is, what was the term? Low, right? Low self-esteem. That's the closest. The sense of inferiority. Shiftless is almost like, shiftless really means, actually shiftless, that's what shiftless means. In inferiority, he has a sense of inferiority. Shuffle is inferior. That's the word. It's a sense of inferiority. Okay? There's a sense, haughtiness is a sense of superiority, and shiftless is a sense of inferiority. Inferiority complex. But not a complex, but inferiority. That's what it means. Okay, a sense, shiftless means inferiority. So a person should feel, shiftless means a lowliness. A certain lowliness. Okay. Now, he says, Vama ma'od ma'od ha'vishfal ruach. A person should feel very low. So they're afraid that if a person will remain in the boundary of Anova, so he may have part of Gaiva. Now this sounds like a logical contradiction. I mean, if you tell me that Anova is what my objective is, right? So how could you say if I stay in the realm of Anova, they're afraid that I'm going to have Gaiva? It just doesn't sound right. Because Anova is in between. So if it's in between, so then it, in between Gaiva and Shiflus, so then if I stay in that realm, he's saying, if I stay in that realm, I'm afraid you're going to have Gaiva. But perfection is Anova. Perfection is Anova. So when you go into Shiflus, you're out of the realm of perfection. It just doesn't seem to make sense. Let's go over it. Hold that question. Amru b'shvach ha'anova, they said, the Chazal say, insofar as praising anova, masha osas chachma, kesel erosha, osas anova, ekev l'gudla. That what chachma took as a crown, anova took as a, like a footstool. That it's like nothing. What does it mean? The chsif, reishis chachma yiras Hashem. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. Hareizu rayash yiras Hashem, yoseh yakar min ha'chachma. So you see that Yiras Hashem is higher than Chachma. The Sibas Mitziyus, the Rambam says, and it's the cause of its existence. Interesting thing. That Yiras Hashem is the cause of the existence of Chachma. V'omar, Ekev Anova Yiras Hashem. Kloma she Yiras Hashem, which is the crown of Chachma, is the Ekev of Anova. Nimsheches b'shulei ha'anova. Nimtza shahanova yosa gedola min achochma baharbe. So it comes out that anova is far greater than chochma. Okay? So what does it mean? What does it mean? Yeah. Thing. In other words, the crown of chochma is Yashem. Yashem is the basis for anova. So it shows you that anova is really greater. It's greater. Okay. You see, basically, it's really something that the Rabbeinu Yonah said before. Rabbeinu Yonah said before an interesting thing. He said that a person can be a chacham even if he doesn't know anything. A person can be a chacham even though he doesn't know anything. That's what he says. Rabbeinu. A person can know a tremendous amount, or a tremendous amount of knowledge, and be a fool. So what does he mean? What does he mean actually? What he means is that what Yadus respects his chachma is really a certain attitude of the soul towards reality. See, wherein lies the perfection in man? It's not, if you speak in terms of intellectual ability, raw intellectual ability, that is not the greatness of man. A person can have a tremendously high IQ, a person can accumulate a tremendous amount of knowledge, but it still does not make the gavra chacham. The level that Yadus seeks is where the gavra is a chacham. Different thing between a person that has chachma and between a person who is a gavra that's a chachma. And for the gavra to be a chacham, you require a certain attitude of the soul. That attitude is what renders the person a chacham. Is what renders the person a chacham. And it's not only true insofar. In other words, like this, in terms of human investigation, in terms of human knowledge. A human being is not a machine in the sense that a person that has the highest IQ will find the discovery. It's not true. It's not true. There are people with tremendous minds and they've accomplished very little. And there are people that Warren didn't have such phenomenal minds and made tremendous discoveries. Because in order to discover things, the mind is simply a tool. And really, there is something in the soul of man that is engaged in the searching process. In the searching process. What Yadus recognizes is that thing that is in the nature of man, that aspect, that element in his soul is really the part that is responsible for the chachma. An interesting thing. And what is that part? What is that part? That part is tied to Yiras Hashem and another. Yiras Hashem and another. An interesting thing. But if you take, for instance, the man came up with this discovery of the unconscious, you see, was not based upon the fact that he was such a super intellect. There were people before him that had much higher IQs. But it was more, what was really responsible for it was a certain attitude of the soul towards reality in a certain area, in a specific area. Without that, he wouldn't have been able to make that discovery. So that discoveries in science are not necessarily made by the intelligence, the power of the intelligence itself. It's a certain searching part of the human mind, an undefinable part. You see, it's not really definable what it is exactly. But it is an element, aside from the chachma is like a mechanism, a tremendous mechanism, which is necessary, of course. A person who doesn't have chachma can't create anything, doesn't have the ability. But it's not just the high intelligence which is responsible. It's very much tied to a person's inner nature. And I could best describe it as a certain attitude towards reality. It has a lot to do with his nature, not just his raw intellect. See, and that's why it's like, actually Sigmund Freud one time said, he says, that I am not really a great person. He said, but people will say that I made a great discovery. He said, yeah, but Columbus discovered America. He wasn't a great person either. So the discovery is not always commensurate with the discoverer. Is it? What he meant to say, yeah, so you'll say, but it's not really true. Because over there, it's a physical it's a physical discovery, discovering America. It's a physical discovery. But over here, it's an intellectual discovery. Yeah, but it is true. Because the point that he was making was that what he was saying was, it's not because of his great intellect, and it's not because he was a great person, but because he had a certain attitude of the soul towards a certain area that permitted him to probe in that area. It's the probing that is the beginning of the uncovering of the Chachma. And that ability to probe in certain areas is really more based upon the perfection, a certain attitude of the person towards reality, than raw intellect. See, raw intellect, the person can accomplish certain things with raw intellect. The person has tremendous memory, the person has tremendous recall, the person has tremendous span, he can accumulate a tremendous amount of knowledge. I would say to accumulate the given knowledge, raw intellect is a tremendous force. But in making a breakthrough, it's not raw intellect. It's a certain attitude of the soul. And Yadus has pinpointed exactly what the nature of that attitude is. The nature, the essence of that attitude is another. That's the essence of the attitude. Another means where a person can throw away all types of, every type of emotional feeling towards his own status, his own self-worth. He's simply completely unconcerned. He's just completely absorbed. Like a child is absorbed in understanding something that's perplexing to him. You see, that attitude represents another. You see? And that attitude is the basis for, that attitude is the, of course, anova is tied to Yiras Hashem. How's anova tied to Yiras Hashem? Because there cannot be any anova unless a person perceives with awe the source of Chachma the source of Chachma itself, which is God. Unless a person has such a perception, there's no another. So the Yiras Elokim is the basis for that attitude of another. That's what Yadus, that's the philosophy of Yadus. Yadus pinpoints wherein perfection lies. And that's the difference between, that's what the Rabbeinu Yonah meant when he said a person can be a great Chacham and not know anything. Oh, he sounds crazy. What does he mean? He means a person can have this attitude of the soul where he just is, he looks at everything that comes his way with an inquisitive mind trying to grasp and to understand. It doesn't matter how much he knows, but that attitude, that is a Chacham. That is the nature of a Chacham. It's not how much mathematical knowledge you have, not how much scientific knowledge you have. It's the nature of the soul. And that's why it doesn't matter when we say that Chazal were great Chachamim. So in today's world, you see, in today's world, people don't understand that, because in today's world, everything has to be in concrete terms, quantified exactly. So they'll say, how is it possible that we should look back? You're right. How is it possible we should look back at Chazal and respect them so much? And they didn't know modern science. They didn't know what an amoeba was. You see? But it's nonsense. Because when we say they were Chachamim, we mean, insofar as their perfection is concerned, insofar as their attitude towards Chochmas Hashem. So if a person doesn't know a particular fact in that area, of course, you wouldn't consult them. But insofar as the area of philosophy of life and of Yadus and of perfection, that doesn't take away one iota from the Gavra of a Chacham. That's why the Rambam was a Chacham and the Rambam would be a Chacham today. It has nothing to do with the particular knowledge, but the attitude. If you study the Mor Nevuchim and you remove the particulars, a lot of particular points, of course, was based on the physics of the time, but if you get through those points, you see an unbelievable Chacham emerge in terms of his attitude. And as a matter of fact, and even so far as to be way ahead of his times and even up to date with the main problems that confront philosophy. In spite of the fact that he was really angry. The attitude of a Chacham is really the essence. That is the essence of Chachma. That's what the Rambam means. That's what the Chazal means. When they say that Anova is the crown. Anova is the highest level. Anova is that attitude. Okay. Now, what I'd like to answer is the question we asked before, which is a disturbing question. Because first he says Anova is directly in between, and now he says that we're supposed to strive towards Anova, and then we go towards Shiftless. But if Anova is directly in between, it's an impossibility. It would seem like a logical impossibility if you're going to the other side, so you're getting involved in the other emotion of inferiority. You see? So then how could you possibly get to Anova? You're going in the wrong direction. Doesn't seem to make any sense. So, well, I think the answer to that is as far last time we were approaching it, but I think to hit it on the head a little better would be to say like this, that what the Rambam means by another being in between, you see, it means just that. The in-between is another, is called another. He says that. He says it's called another, v'ein lo shem acher. That's what's called another. I was wondering why he says that. It's called another, v'ein lo shem acher. What does it mean? What he means is that it's simply a matter of, nomenclature, in other words, the term another, which means like this. Which means the in-between, you see, the in-between is what we call another. Now, in-between could be because of two reasons. You could either be in-between because you're compromising opposing forces, you see, or you could be in-between because there simply is no energy involved in either extreme. Now, when the Rambam says that Anova is dead center in between, he means in terms of nomenclature. That's where is Anova? Dead center. Matter of point of reference. But there are two dead centers. One dead center is a dead center that's a compromise because of opposing emotions, and the other dead center is because there is no energy in either direction. And the term Anova is the term that's used for the center. That explains the Rambam. So the Rambam says like this. The Rambam says that Chazal were afraid of being involved in the emotion of haughtiness. Now we know in man, it's like in terms of human psychology, there's the two opposing forces. There's one part of man that makes him want to feel that he's great. See? And people seem to think that that's a very healthy attitude. Of course, if a person gets too healthy, not too many people are going to have anything to do with him. So a person realizes that he can't walk around thinking, satisfying this emotion. So then he gets drawn to the other side. Drawn to the other side, he has problems, he's not happy. People may, maybe he'll have a few more friends, but it might not be worth it. So he's caught up, you see, in the struggle. He's caught up in the struggle. That's in the psychological sense. What the Rambam says is that ordinarily, first you try to achieve the psychological health, and then you go on to the, once you have a psychological state, so then you go on to the philosophical state. Over here, Chazal didn't do that. Over here, Chazal couldn't do that. Because if they were merachik to the other side, the side of Shiftless, because if they would be involved in the tug, and try to find the means, so then they're catering to the emotion of haughtiness. That center, which is a compromise, they had to forego. That's a dangerous kind of thing, because that partakes of both. Partakes of haughtiness is a combination. The average person has a healthy psyche has a nice compromise. But that compromise consists of haughtiness and inferiority, two different strains, pulling in two different directions. That they couldn't do, because they'd forfeit the ultimate perfection. So therefore, they went to the side of Shiftless, the side where they feel where they suffer inferiority, and stayed there until they reached another. How do you reach another from Shiftless? The answer is very simple. The answer is that the real another is where the person has no energy directed towards the self whatsoever. where the person drains off all energies, then he's considered dead center again. But then he's center why? He's center not because he has to pull from two sides, but because simply there's no pull, you see. So therefore they stayed in the side of on the side of shiftless. They practiced shiftless until they could reach the state in which all their energies were directed towards Chochmah, and there was simply no energy directed towards the self. That's what the Rambam means. Okay. Now, the Rambam says like this. In other words, like this. We're not in disagreement with what we said last time, but what we're doing is we're adding something to it. What we said last time is that there's two types of anava. There's psychological anava and there's philosophical anava. Okay? In psychological anava, a person is in a healthy state of mind psychologically. It means to say that he's even between the two opposing forces. He's not a haughty person, he's not a person with inferiority complex. He's in between. That's psychologically healthy. And that's what the Rambam says is, the Rambam calls it in the Yad HaChazaka. I think he calls it a chacham. This is not enough. Which means to say that he's psychologically sound. Okay? Psychologically sound. But then there's another kind of anivus. The second kind of anivus stems from a different source. It stems from the fact that all his energies are directed outwardly, not towards the self. But they're all directed towards the perception of Chochmah Sologan. That's where all his energies are directed. Now you understand, that kind of anava, by the way, is only attainable by a person who happens to be a tremendous Chochmah. It's not attainable. The psychological anava anybody can have. I mean, it's not a simple matter, but a person doesn't have to be a great chacham to have that. He has to have a well-balanced psyche, and he'll have anava. But the anava of the true anava, the anava says, "Va'ish Moshe anav ma'od mikol adam ashel panei adama," means that he had no gaiva whatsoever, not even a minuscule amount. That means to say that all his energies were directed towards perceiving Chochmas Hashem, and there was no energy, psychological energy, directed towards the self whatsoever. It simply wasn't an entity in the self. See? Now that level is only attainable by a tremendous Chochmas, because where is he directing his energy? The energies have to be directed towards only, can only be satisfied by being directed towards Chochmas Hashem. By the way, it's an interesting thing. Psychologically, it means to say that any other involvement, any other undertaking will always result in the energies being directed towards the self. It doesn't need to be directed towards other things. It doesn't need to be directed towards hobbies. He's not thinking about himself. He's a stamp collector. You see? But no. And being a stamp collector is a tremendous amount of energy directed towards the collector. You see? Exactly. In any chesed is a different thing. Chesed, to do true chesed, only stems from Chochmas Hashem. Otherwise, it's just an emotional reaction. They interviewed this famous sister Teresa. Yeah. So they what? Whatever. So they interviewed her. You know, they portray her as a person who's involved in, tremendous amount of chesed. They portray her that way. But when they interviewed, the first thing she said was that she one time noticed in her life that she had the tremendous vicious emotions. She said, like Hitler, reminded her of Hitler. And she said, and once she realized that, she decided she's going to dedicate her life to the opposite thing. So that's simply a reaction formation against aggressive tendencies. That's not really chesed. That's not really chesed. That's an emotional kind of reaction.
Well,
I'll tell you why. It's not a real level, because that kind of chesed, that brand of chesed is very tied to the self. It's very tied to the self, because it's the self that they're concerned with. That is really at the root of it. See? Yeah. It's really the self that is exactly. So it happens to be very, the main drive is the ego. The main drive in such a type of thing is the ego drive, see, to show that they are a kind person. So it's basically a very egoistic thing. So that type of chesed is really the opposite of anivus. The opposite of anivus. See, once you're catering to those type of emotions, a certain situation can arise and the person can become a ruthless killer also. And that's why the Christians, you know, with their idea of their so-called commitment to their fellow man, have been the worst killers throughout history. Because that type of a psychological frame of mind can be converted immediately, because it has nothing to do with it. It's basically satisfying tremendous egoistic desires, and all you need is a little twist, and they're ready to commit the worst atrocities. It's true. It's true. You're always in a constant process of fighting off a negative image and trying to create a positive image. That's not I say it's a good thing if everybody would do it. It would be very good, but it has to be very controlled, because if it's not a perfection of the person. It doesn't represent the perfection in the gavra. The person hasn't gone too far from his original direction. Yeah, but at any rate, yeah. The point is that the only area that can absorb the energy and remove the person from the self is perception of chachma. Anything else always turns back to the self. But it's not possible. It's not possible to accomplish it through cultural achievements. See, cultural achievements are always egoistic. Whether it's art, or whether it's music, or other things, are always egoistic in nature. There's only one thing in which the person's ego is completely lost, and that is in the if he's involved in appreciation of chokhmah, where he is in constant awe of the Chachmas Hashem. That's the only time the self is lost. The only occupation, or preoccupation, in which the self is lost. Yeah. In other words, the difference between Yiras Hashem between another would be like this. The Yiras Hashem means recognition of God. Recognition of God, source of all Chachmas. Anava is the effect that has in the Gavra. There's a certain affect that it has in the gavra. So while the two coexist, you see, the awe, it means, like the Rambam explains, Miyadu Nirtal Achara, when he recognizes God, and he sees that he's a Briya Shvela Vafela Omei Bedas Muto, with Netam Deos. So it's the effect that it has insofar as the gavra is concerned is the anava. You see? And what the Pasuk is saying is, the Pasuk is saying that the highest level can only be achieved when that affect takes place. That's really the highest level. It's a qualification of the Yiras Hashem. You see, even though two things coexist, it doesn't mean you can't separate them conceptually. And in other words, even though two things coexist, doesn't necessarily mean you can't separate them conceptually. It means to say that Yiras Hashem finds its ultimate fulfillment in this affect of another. And the affect of another, that's where Yiras Hashem reaches its highest level. But even though you can't separate them in terms of time, but in terms of concept you can. That is, what is the apex of Yiras Hashem? Is a certain sense of loss of energy towards the self. That's miyadu nirtal acharav, and he recognizes briya shvela vafela omei b'das muta l'fetom deos. That sense, that's the affect. That affect, you see, is the highest level of Yiras Hashem. The affect. Okay. Well, okay, let's go a little further. I'd like to talk about that also a little bit further, because the point is, apparently, one thing is clear, though, that anova is no simple matter. Like I mentioned before, you see, for instance, the Rambam mentions like this. The Rambam mentions that But there's a Chazal that says like this, that the famous Chazal that says that the highest level of another was reached by Moshe and Aaron, because they said, "Vanachnu more, what are we?" Said, "Dovra Malach said Anochi to Las Loish." Las Loish means that he still is at least he's a creature. He's something. He's a worm, but a worm is also something. But the Avram Avinu said, "Anochi off of Afer." All right, so it's inanimate matter. So it's a lower level off of Afer. But the highest level was Moshe and Aaron. He said, "Vanachnu more, what are we?" You see. So what are Chazal pointing out? The idea that they're trying to teach us is that a person's level of anava is dependent upon his level of greatness. It means that David HaMelech couldn't say Anochi Mah. He had to say Anochi Talas Loish, means that was according to his level of Chachma. There still was a certain amount of energy directed towards the self, which means that he felt he had a sense of being at least an animate creature, the lowest one, but there was a certain amount directed. See, Avraham Avinu was on a higher level, so he felt off of Eifer. It was like emotionally off of Eifer's on a lower level, but there still was a certain amount of energy directed towards himself. But Moshe and Aaron was vanachnu more, nothing at all. So the true anava, and that's the another that we were describing before, is not when it's a compromise between two opposing forces, but where there's no energy whatsoever towards the self. That's the highest level. But that level is only possible according to the level of a person. But it's called anava, it's called a shame anava. It's the same shame, but it's a different phenomenon. Okay. What? The first one says like this. He says, this is what you say, Motzei Shabbos. Not in the yeshiva, but in the shul, as you said. Dover that kosev b'Torah shoni b'nevi'im meshulas b'ksuvim. Kol makom shata motzei gvurasa shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Wherever you find the mightiness of God, shom ato motzei an v'sanuso. Over there you find His humility. Kosev b'Torah hokel agodo lagibor v'anora. Kel agodo lagibor v'anora, Torah says. So God is mighty, fearful, awesome, great. But right afterwards says, Osa Mishpat Ger Yasa Ramana. It means that God Himself involves Himself with a Yasam, an individual Yasam, an orphan, or a particular widow, and He's concerned about them, and He makes sure that righteousness is done for them. So this is like in direct opposition to Godel Giva Venora, creator of the universe, the whole source of all the chachma and the universals, that he should occupy himself with an individual orphan that has a misfortune. I mean, it seems like it's the opposite. Not, it seems to us strange. It doesn't seem appropriate. No. That God is, so that's what it teaches us, that God is is an honor. And Shonim ben Avim goes as ki ko amar rom v'nisa shochin ad v'kadosh shmo morom v'kadosh eshkon. But it says v'ez dako shfar ruach, that God helps out the individual who feels lowly, feels depressed. You see, u'meshulish b'ksuvim solo l'rochev b'rovos v'kadosh shmo rochev b'rovos, the highest level v'achrav avi yisomim v'dayin almanos. Interesting thing. So what exactly does this Chazal mean? And it was absurd for such a person to come down and go to an individual's house and say, look, I want to help this particular person. It's not appropriate. But God does it. It means to say one thing, though. It means to say that the concept of propriety, which is ingrained in our nature, you see, is an illusion. It's an illusion. As strong as it is not a reality. Okay? It is not a reality. So that a person would say that it would be inappropriate for a great ruler who a great individual, a person who is so respected, President of the United States or the leader of a great government, to go spend this time with a particular individual, this is a particular unfortunate individual, just to go spend this, it's inappropriate, it's too important. It's too important, he can't to waste his time with such a thing. You see? That sense has no basis in reality. It's a sense that we as human beings have, and we consider it real, and we, you know, we live by it, and we recognize it, but in reality, there's no basis. And that's why the pasuk says that God occupies himself with the particular individual, an orphan child, a specific daka, shal ruach, a specific individual. He takes time to, so to speak, to work with that particular individual. That whole idea of propriety, that man is imbued, has no basis whatsoever in reality. It just comes from our physical nature, and it is not to be recognized as having any true value. That's why it's, the pasuk tells us that about God. For us, it seems like a contradiction. The mere fact that it seems like a contradiction is only because we are impressed by this emotion. When we say that, you have to understand one thing. When we say humility, we don't mean a positive thing. We mean the absence of something else. Because it's impossible to say that God acts with humility. Who is he being humble for? Doesn't make any sense. Man can be humble before God, but humbling in the sense that a person forces himself to overcome his sense of haughtiness. You see, that's not really true humility. True humility is the absence, it's not the opposing forces. People, when they think of humility, they think that a person is really deserving of tremendous praise and he humbles himself. That's not true humility. That's the humility, the psychological humility, the opposing forces, you see. But true humility is where the person doesn't sense any self-worth. Like we said, Boiko Anoa, that the Tana said, that who is nobody but Lanova, Misha Mesa, every but Lanova, and wants to be Anoa. I'm still here, what do you mean? The answer is because there's no energy attached to self, he's looking at the self as an extraneous object. When we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an onov, is an angasan, it doesn't mean humble. Humble is a bad word. See, a lot of the terms in usage in English, in the American language, convey false notions. Very bad. And that's why when people read books on philosophy, especially from our scholars that are translated, they get wrong ideas, like terms like humility or the Rambam's idea of intellectuality. It's a different concept. It doesn't mean intellectual. It's a different thing. The word intellectual conveys a different notion. It's very hard to translate these words because you're bordering on, you're really dealing with, you're looking for a philosophical term. But that's what it means. Okay. Nothing's happening? Turning?
Yes, sir.
Nothing's done.
Testing. One, two, yes, sir.
Okay. Well, the question... So the question we were left with last time is that it would seem to be circular, because we say that the whole inyadus, that perfection revolves around chokhmah, around knowledge and appreciation of knowledge, and yet you have over here what he's saying is, would seem to be a contradiction, because he says that the essence of knowledge is Yiras Hashem, the fear of God. And the essence of the fear of God is anava, is humility. So that's the bottom line, is humility. And yet, in the Rambam's description of Yiras Hashem and anava, so the Rambam says it all stems from knowledge. So it seems that knowledge is first. Over here it seems to say, Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem, that the beginning of Chochma is Yiras Hashem. So Yiras Hashem, the basis of Chochma is Yiras Hashem. And then the Gemara says, and the basis of Yiras Hashem is Anova. So it seems to be the reverse order. So the answer is that there are two senses in which we have the an order or priority. Sometimes a thing is prior in time, and sometimes a thing is prior in terms of importance. Now, What he's saying is like this, that it's true that in order for a person to have any Yiras Hashem, he has to have an appreciation of Chachma. Without Chachma, nothing is accomplished. Like the Rambam says that the person's love and fear of God, which according to the Rambam is one and the same, is directly proportional to his knowledge. Can't exceed his knowledge. You can't exceed his knowledge. You must have knowledge. There's no question about that. But what the Chazal and Avos are talking about is in terms of the attitude of the soul, the perfection of the soul. In terms of the attitude of the soul, the ultimate perfection finds itself in the soul's attitude in terms of another, in terms of its own worthlessness. Okay. Now, in order to attain that level, one must have chachma. Chachma must precede it in time. It's prior to it in time. Without chachma, there's nothing. The chachma person sees the workings of the universe, and he sees the reflection of the Creator. And once he has a glimpse, so to speak, of the Creator, then he himself feels very insignificant. But if we speak in terms of priority, prior not in time, but prior in terms of importance, the priority is another. That the Yiras Hashem is prior to another, because Yiras Hashem means recognition of the source of all chachma, that there's a being behind the chachma. And once a person has that perception, then there's a sense of self-worthlessness. And that sense is the ultimate kiyum, the ultimate essence of the perfection of the soul. That's where the perfection of the soul resides, in that sense. Not in the knowledge itself. The knowledge, if you're speaking in terms of the perfection of the soul, it is that sense which we have to isolate as the perfection of the soul. Of course, that sense can never exist without knowledge. But if we're isolating in terms of the soul itself, what its attitude is, the ultimate essence of the attitude of perfection has to be in another. Okay? So over here, it's not another in contradistinction to Chachma. Without Chachma, it can't exist. But if you're isolating that part of the soul, if someone would ask, what is the state of the soul, the highest state of the soul, which is in line with Chachma and Avas Hashem, which is the state of impossible. You can't separate the state from Chachma. But the essence, if we isolate the perfection in the soul itself, it's going to have to be that sense. That's what the Rambam says. That's what the Pesukim says. That the Pesukim say, Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem. And then the other Pasuk says that Anova, with Ekev Anova Yiras Hashem. So it's a Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem. So Chachma has a basis, Yiras Hashem. And what's the base of Yiras Hashem? Is Anova. So it means that the ultimate perfection resides in that state. Of course, that state is not to be understood as existing without Chachma. It's an impossibility to exist without Chachma. You see, it's impossible to exist without Chachma, but nevertheless, if we isolate the state of the soul, that is the state. That affect, so to speak, that affect of the soul where a person in perceiving Chachma Hashem has a feeling of insignificance, that he's a Bria Shvela Vafela. That sense is the perfection of the soul. Okay. And Chachma, of course, is part of the picture. It's impossible to have it without Chachma. But the essence is the state. When you speak of the essence of the perfection of the soul, that is the state. We isolate the perfection. And that's what the Pesukim says. Okay. the order of acquisition is not the same as the order of importance. You see, the order of acquisition is of course, it starts with Chachma. Without Chachma, you can't move. And Chachma is where a person sees the unraveling of a great system, and that's where he begins to acquire these midos. That's the order of acquisition. But the order of acquisition and order in terms of priorities and importance is a different order. That's the solution to the seeming contradiction. There's two senses in which we say a thing is prior. It's an interesting thing. It's an Aristotelian statement, actually. Two types of different senses of priority. All right. Next point was God's anivus. So in terms of God's anivus, what we said was, what do we derive from the concept of God? God is an anuf. So it means that our sense of propriety is does not exist in reality. There's no such thing. It's not corroborated by reality. It's just our own emotions. No sense of propriety. That's why you see by Moshe Rabbeinu also, that Moshe Rabbeinu in Yisrael, he served Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu went himself, and he was the one that was serving. So what kind of sense of propriety is that? That Moshe Rabbeinu himself was there. We ever hear that the President Reagan is going to go serve Gorbachev himself, and bring him coffee and cake, bring him a meal? It's absurd. The answer is because society is endowed with a sense of propriety. But this is against Yadus. That's the concept that God himself is Osek with the Yasom and Amona. Is God himself. So the whole concept, the sense of propriety that man has no basis in reality. And that we see from God. Because God is the highest, the supreme being, and nevertheless, he is personally involved with an individual yasam, with an individual amana. No sense of propriety. Propriety is a human concept, which has no basis in on the contrary, Chesed demands that he himself be involved. If you consider this individual to be your guest, so the honor that you should accord him is that you personally should be involved. You see that by Avraham Avinu also. That's the Pesach Chazal saying Kedushin. That somebody came to one of the great Talmid Chacham and he was serving him. So he says, how could you not appropriate that you should serve me? So he says, what do you mean? He said, Avraham Avinu gadol hador haya. Avraham Avinu was a gadol hador. And he himself went and served. The answer is because the concept of chesed demands that if you consider this person to be a guest, then you yourself should serve. A sense of propriety. Propriety doesn't exist. You see, God himself does not operate with propriety. That's the concept. Okay. Now he goes on around. So Yesh Lecha Luma B'Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, and you should learn from Moshe, our teacher. Show Yesholim B'Mailos Ha'Egyonios. By Malchus, you have a different... But Malchus, the whole institution of Malchus, and the Rav himself mentioned it many times, is itself a compromised institution. Not really an essential that Yadus really introduced the Melech with mixed feelings. That's why you see by Shmuel. Shmuel himself introduced the Melech. He didn't want them to take the Melech. It was wrong that they wanted the Melech. But the institution of Malchus is really given is a market. You have a permit to have a Melech. But a Melech isn't really the ultimate institution. The ultimate institution is the Talmud Chacham. The Rebbe is the ultimate institution, not the Melech. A malchus is something which is necessary for society. Yeah. It seems that in Melech HaMashiach, the two institutions will be brought as close as possible together as they are able to be brought in terms of human society. But the ultimate institution is not Melech. The ultimate institution in Yadus is really Rebbe. Okay, now the Rambam goes on. He says like this. The Shevach that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu was the highest in terms of knowledge and in terms of midos, in terms of perfection. Still the Pasuk praised him with only one midah, which is the midah another. One of Moshe. Now he says like this. He says, V'chein David Mashiach Elokei Yisrael U'ne'im Zmiros Yisrael. An interesting thing. Where's Rambam get this? That Mashiach Elokei Yaakov U'ne'im Zmiros Yisrael. So it says David HaMalach was Mashiach. The first Mashiach was David HaMalach. That's what the Rambam says. And where does the Rambam get this from? It's interesting. You have a Malach. Okay, it says in Chav Gimel, Shmuel Beis Chav Gimel, Vela Divrei David HaAchronim Nu'um David ben Yishai, Nu'um HaGever Hukam Ol. Hukam Ol, Rashi says, Hukam L'mayla, means he's established on high. The Pasuk says, Mashiach Elokei Yaakov. It's a Pasuk the Rambam's called. Mashiach Elokei Yaakov, he is the Mashiach. Nu'im Zemiras Yisrael, and the one who is the reciter of the songs of Israel. So that's David HaMelech. Now, what does it mean in the Im Zmir Yisrael? It's interesting. Rashi says like this: Ein Yisrael Meshorim B'Mikdash Ela Shirosa V'Zmirosa. And then the base on Mikdash, the only Shiros and the Zmiros that we recite are from David HaMelech. No one else. Can't, not allowed to recite anybody else's Zmiros. The Rav one time mentioned that insofar as the Rambam doesn't have Oz Yashir in the in Shachris, he doesn't have Oz Yashir before Yishtabach. He has Oz Yashir after Yishtabach. Why? Because the it's supposed to be you say in Yishtabach you say all your day a kol divrei shiros v'shish bachos David ben Yishai Avdecha Mashiachecha. So you see, actually, Nishmas is really an extension of Yishtabach. That's what Nishmas is. So Al Yidei, only Al Yidei, what's it again? Shir Davdecha, Shir Davdecha. Shir Davdecha, Na'al Lachot Shem Kenj, the Zmiris of Shabbos. Vashir Davdecha, only through the Shiris of David. So therefore, David HaMelech is the only his shiros are you permitted to say. That's why the Rambam took Oz Yashir out and put Oz Yashir after Yishtabach. From Baruch Sha'omar until Yishtabach, you should only have shiros David. It'll come out if you do that, you have to change the Yichavot also, because there's a pasuk in there, Hashem Yimloch Olam Vayev, which is, comes from the Torah, the Yichavot also. I don't know if the Rambam had Yichavot. I don't know. At any rate, it comes out that the Shiros, so actually it's a Rashi. I never realized it, but it's a Rashi in Malachim, because Rashi says, "Ein Yisrael Mesharim B'Migdash Ela Shirosa V'Uzmirosa." Only the Shiros David. So why only the Shiros of David? Why only the Shiros of David? And it's interesting. When the Rambam brings down over here, you take a look. The Rambam brings down. He says, "Yesh l'chol l'ulma b'Moshe Rabbeinu." That's number one. Because the Torah says that Moshe Rabbeinu is on the ma'od. And he says, "V'chein David Mashiach Elokei Yaakov v'ne'im Zmiros Yisrael." That's a pasuk. "V'hu Melech shepkudosav nishmos, asher niso Hashem emshalto v'hinchilo nitzchonos, v'asher huftach bo ede Moshe Rabbeinu, v'hu akochov asher dorach miyakov." And his dorach kochov miyakov is a reference to David HaMelech. Moshe Biru Chachamim, the Navi, he was a prophet. When the sea Shivim Zakenim, Moshe Neamar Yosef V'Sheves Tachkemoni. So the pasuk says that David HaMelech was the head of the Sanhedrin. Vim Kolzeh Omar Latzmo Lev Nishbar V'Nidke V'Harbe Min Havashona Salolo Hamor Maltachos Hanala. And still in all, you see that in Tehillim he always mentions the need of another above all other needs. God is close to those who have a leiv nishgav v'rukka, which means anivus. So you see that anivus is considered the highest midah, and he mentions, so the Rambam isolates these two personalities. Interesting. Moshe Rabbeinu, and David HaMelech. Why is the only tzmiris through David HaMelech? Why through no one else? See, the Chazal that says that Nebuchadnezzar really wanted to say Zmiras, wanted to say Tillim. He wanted to say Tillim, which would have been, like the Tillim of David HaMelech. Greater, I think the Chazal said, but God stopped him. Wouldn't permit him to do it. You see. So apparently, when we say Tehillim, in the Zmiros, it's not enough to just recite the words of the Zmiros. But the words of the Zmiros have to reflect a certain perfected personality behind the Amiras of Zmiros. And that's why Nebuchadnezzar was going to say tremendous Shiras Hashbachos when he saw that God. He saw the Nisim, he saw the actions of God, so he was overcome. But he wasn't a person who had any real perfection. So therefore, his Miros may have been beautiful, but we can't say those Miros. The reason why we say the Miros of David HaMelech is because his Miros was said through perfection of the soul. It's interesting, the Pasuk says that too, really. Pasuk in Shmuel Beis. Pasuk says that about his mirrors, it says that basically. See, it says that he says Mashiach alakei Yaakov v'ne'im zmiros Yisrael ruach Hashem diber bi. So Rashi says, Hishra bi ruach kocho, v'nidbar bi, v'chol loshen nevu anofa ba loshen dova, loshen dova diber, daber, kemo harakach b'moshe diber, halo gam bonu diber, adaber bo, v'taymo shel dover, v'fi sheharuach nichnas bo bekerev hanovi u'medaber bo. Because the Ruach goes into the Navi and speaks through him. What does it mean? It means to say, it's not just a mystical statement, but it means to say that the person is on such a level of perfection that his perception of reality in formulating the Zmiros is only through perception of God's knowledge. No, nothing else. There are no side emotional forces, you see. It's like the Rambam says, though, what does it mean? That's what it means by Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh means that the individual is devoid of all other instinctual motivations and is only on a level of perception. So in the Tzelem Elokim, he perceives the truth, and that's that's the first level of Nevuah. That's what I'm mistaken from Ram says in the Mora, David HaMelech's love of Nevuah was Ruach HaKodesh. That's a pasuk. The pasuk is Ruach Hashem Diber Bi Umiloso Alashani. So David HaMelech's Miros were through Ruach HaKodesh. And because they were through Ruach HaKodesh, so that's why we recite them, because they reflect the perfection of the composer. But just the statement in itself, even though it's a beautiful statement, no meaning really. It's just that the Nebuchadnezzar was a tremendous emotional reaction. There wasn't a perception of Chachmas Hashem. So such a such statements we can't recite. The statement has to reflect the composer, the perfection of the composer. Yeah. That's different. Why? Because Shema Amos Mishnah means an idea. But over here, it's true that it's an idea. See, the difference between Tehillim and between Torah. Because the Gemara says that David HaMelech asked God that his tefillin should be counted like Torah. Matter of fact, the Chayav HaLashon was very much against the Hasidic movement, which wanted to incorporate, and wanted to not incorporate, rather substitute the Talmud Torah. They wanted to substitute Yiras Shamayim and learn in Sifrei Musa. And they put away the Gemara and they simply learned Sifrei Musa. They said, "This is the greatest thing because we feel very close to God." So Chaim Volozhin said that even the Tilim of David HaMelech, which is certainly the highest level of Dveikus B'Kadosh Baruch Hu, so the Gemara says that David HaMelech asked God that his Tilim should be counted as Torah. But he says, "But we don't know what God answered him." The Gemara doesn't say whether it was or not. But the point is, the idea of Tilim is, what is the idea of Tilim? You see, if we learn Tilim, it's really Talmud Torah. If we learn Tilim, because we gain new ideas from Tilim. For us, it's Torah. But for David HaMelech, David HaMelech knew the ideas. But the Tilim was really the incorporation of those ideas, how those ideas relate to the perfected person, to a person's state, his emotional state. So this is something that a person should be involved in, not just a new idea, but an idea about God, even though he knows that idea. But when that idea has its place in terms of how he feels, and in terms of his general outlook, it gives him a certain satisfaction, a certain sense of reality. That's really what Tilim is. So if David HaMelech wasn't limud because he knew the ideas, for us it's limud because he's learned the psukim, understanding the idea. But Zmiros, saying Zmiros represents philosophical ideas, you see, in terms of the proper emotional framework. And that's why I think that the Rambam has mentions two personalities. He mentions Moshe Rabbeinu and David HaMelech. Why? See, Moshe Rabbeinu and David HaMelech are two different individuals. Moshe Rabbeinu, there is no personality in Moshe Rabbeinu. You don't find in the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu too much about Moshe Rabbeinu's personality, because Moshe Rabbeinu was a complete Navi. He was on the level where all his emotions were, all his energy, all his psychic energy was taken up in the Torah. He was on a different plane. So all the energy was consumed in Chochmas Hashem. That's a different level. That's only Moshe Rabbeinu. Well, come be so like Moshe Rabbeinu. That is Sheyedah Hashem Panam Panam. He's all his energy is consumed in Chachmas Hashem. A regular person cannot do that. You see, David HaMelech represents the perfection of the emotions. Different personality. David HaMelech is the emotions. His energy directed to the emotions, but in the most perfected way possible in terms of the human personality, you see. And that's what Zmiros, that's why he was the one that wrote the Zmiros. Because the Zmiros reflect how a person's emotions should be perfected so that he appreciates the Creator, how he appreciates God. And David HaMelech represented that perfection. It's two different personalities. Moshe Rabbeinu is on a different level. We can't relate to Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was an individual that was the highest level attainable for man. We can't do that. In the Migdash, you have to have Zmiros. Because Zmiros move the emotions, but to move the emotions in the proper way. The individual whose emotions were most aligned in the highest possible way was David HaMelech. And that's why... that's what his Miros reflect. That's what his Tehillim reflects. So that's why it's Al Yidei Shiros, Al Yidei, what is it? V'Shira Dabar Avdecha. And it's not just, the Rambam took that halacha, it's halacha in the Migdash, that's what the Rashi says. That Yisrael Mashar, Ein Yisrael Shom Migdash, Elvah Shirosav was Mirosav. The Rambam said it, that's the same halacha applies to Psukei Dezimra. The Psukei Dezimra. Rambam applied to Psukei Dezimra as well. That's why the Rambam mentions these two personalities. After this, he doesn't go into personalities. He goes into Chazdiri Chazal. Anything I don't know included in Sefer Tillim means that in terms of our personality, in terms of our framework, it's something that Moshe Rabbeinu may have said, but it is appropriate for our perfection in terms of Miros. He was the master of what is appropriate for our perfection in terms of our emotions. And if he incorporated and is safer, then we use it. If he didn't incorporate it, then we don't. That's what it means. He was the one. It could be he took things from others too, but not just himself. But sometimes it's not just the author of something that's important. It's the one who incorporates. Like, for instance, I mean, you have Pirush Rashi. Pirush Rashi isn't really Pirush Rashi, it's Medrash. Medrash. But the mark of Rashi in Pirush Rashi is there because Rashi followed a certain line and he took only certain chazal. And if you watch Rashi carefully, you'll see a line of approach that he developed. It's true that the statements that he takes are not his, they're not original. People think that it's a defect. It's not a defect. His originality is not just expressed in coming up with a new idea. Originality is also expressed in taking ideas and incorporating them and creating a certain framework out of them. So while it's true that the Shiros and Shishbachos that David HaMelech has in Sefer Tillim are not all his, but he framed there's a theme, a concept of Tillim which he framed, and which when he takes somebody else's creative work, you see, he incorporated it into this framework. That framework is the right wavelength for Shiros and Shishbachos. If it's not in that framework, then it's not valid. And he was the one that had the perception of what exactly should be used to move the human emotion towards God in the proper way. In the proper way. So it doesn't matter if he was the author. Not just the author is the one that is important. But there's a creativity in taking somebody else's works and incorporating them in one, in developing a theme, one theme. You see, that's considered that itself is tremendous creativity. Creativity is not just the one that thinks of an idea, but somebody who takes others' ideas and incorporates them in a frame and develops a certain theme. That itself is creativity. It's like the Rav one time said about Rav Chaim, that Rav Chaim's, a lot of Rav Chaim Brisker's ideas, sometimes he was very creative, he came up with his own ideas, but the Rav said that many times he just underlined the statements of a Rishon. That itself is creativity. The underlining, showing what is the essence of the statements. This is the point. This is the essence of the point. That's just as much creativity as a person who's an innovator and thinks of a new idea. Developing is showing the essential point. So David HaMelech took all those things which were appropriate to move the human emotion towards God in the proper way. It doesn't have to be from his own. It could be from Moshe Rabbeinu. It could be from Asaf, from whoever. But he was the master of the developing that theme. He had the right perception. And that is only his that we use. Only his, because it reflects the perfection of his approach. If you would, what would be wrong with using somebody else's? Like, let's say, for instance, the Nebuchadnezzar would come up with tremendous, beautiful Miros. The answer is, the moment you do that, you're opening up an area for everyone to project their own emotions onto the scene. But since we go back to David HaMelech, he's the composer, so that limits us to only one view, the view of David HaMelech. He's the one that has the perception. And we have to be in line with his perception. Not just from there, any type of emotional expression. Because that could be disastrous. That's why, so Zmiris really is something which plays on the human emotion, but you have to has to reflect the perfection of the human emotions, which is Devar HaMelech. Okay. The nature of Zmiros is such that it must reflect a perfected individual behind it, and that is Devar HaMelech. See, also, the very nature of the concept of Zmiros, since it is something which does deal with the perfection of the emotions, has to be tied to a composer that was perfected. Otherwise, it's disastrous. Has to, because the emotions have to be tied to that individual. When you say Zmiros, you say, I'm trying to understand, I'm trying to reach the level of perfection, the framework from which the Zmiros emerged. And that framework is Devar HaMelech's perfection. Okay. The tie-in between idolatry and haughtiness. Seems to be two different things. A person can be haughty, and he doesn't have to be idolatrous. But Chazal say no, that there is a tie-in between these two. If a person is haughty, he's prone or subject to idolatry in some way. What does it mean? He goes on and says, "V'amru shavonai gaiva kinisha bo'al kol harayas." Not only that, but gaiva is as if he lived with all the prohibited harayas, he violated all the sexual violations. So it says like this: "Kinisha bo'al kol harayas." Amar tova shem kugovelev. Amar barayas ki eskola to'evos ha'elu osa. All these abominations the other nations did. The abominations are referring to Arias. So, the Yisuri Arias. So he says that this is also considered, it also stems from haughtiness. And then he says, "Ramu ki ha-go'a hu atzma lefnei Hashem kavod azor atzma." That he himself is like an avod azor himself. "Lamdu ma'ashne mechul lochem min ha-adam, Hashem ishrama ba'apo, kloma rucho gvoa, he's haughty. It's considered a bum, it's considered an avodah zarah." So there he mentions the point, two different points apparently. Well, let's take the first point. I think the answer is like this, because the purpose of the idolaters, whether it's primitive or even in today's avodah zarah, The purpose of the idolater is really to have nature conform to his will. That's why the person serves these powers which he creates. He creates these powers because of his own insecurities, and he wishes, he's overcome with one thing, that the universe should run according to his needs. So he needs safety and security, so he creates a certain god, or gods, I should say, that protect him, and that cater to him. So it's a self-centered type of existence, where the main preoccupation is the self. And the purpose of all the idols is to satisfy the self. So that's why a person who is haughty is basically prone towards idolatry, because that's his main preoccupation, is to achieve a certain benefit for the self. You see. That's the first thing. And the second one is, next point he mentions is Arias. What does that do with Arias? Gaiva would seem to be haughty, would seem to be very far from Arias. What does Arias have to do? I think this is in line with something we one time mentioned, that that a person's involvement in self-satisfaction, behind that involvement is a certain egoistic drive, a motive. A person's ego, when a person feels a person is overcome with his own importance, he feels that he has to partake of any enjoyment that the world offers. He can't say that I'm going to miss this enjoyment. See? It says Kiva Ball, Kol Harayas. Interesting. Kol Harayas. Isn't that Kol Harayas? Yeah? So it means Al-Kol Arayas means that's his desire. His desire, he cannot leave this world but with missing any type of physical enjoyment. He is so great, so important that every enjoyment must be his. Part of his conquest. That's right, that's right. We set up Shabbat Pastor. That's right. Okay. My wife was just reading to me the other day, she reading about Donald Trump, that he just bought his latest toy was a $30 million yacht. So he says himself, I don't know what this is like. It's a crazy thing. I have to do it. What is his name? Gevalet. Man, he must have every possible enjoyment because the self is so important that every enjoyment must be given to this self. Cannot let anything go. I miss this enjoyment. It's not the enjoyment itself, it's the ego that is disturbing. And I didn't have this, that's impossible. And Gevalev knows no bounds. Even Arayas, every Kilu ball, Kol Arayas, means that there is nothing that will stand in the way, that will stop him, that will prevent his ego from being satisfied in the sense that he doesn't miss any enjoyment. He doesn't miss anything. As I was mentioned before, the ultimate Avodah Zarah is really the self. The ultimate Avodah Zarah is the self. That's where the ultimate Avodah. There are two expressions of the Avodah Zarah. Expression of Avodah Zarah externally, that's in creating the Avodah Zarah, and also in making sure that he has all the taivas and all the desires. But the ultimate Avodah Zarah is the self, which means to say that he raises himself to as the center of the universe. He himself becomes the center of the universe. That's the Bama Al-Nachshav. Chilu Lachem in Adam, Kev Menachar, Al-Tikr Bama Al-Bama. That's the number. Okay.
What?
Ultimately it's the self. Ultimately it's the self. That's as Kibama Al-Nachshav. Ultimately it's the self. Ultimately it's the self. The other ones are me. Ramei Akoma Geduim. Ramei Akoma Geduim, just for Asher Rehen to Gadim. It's befitting to destroy them. It means to say that his existence is worthless. Because the only purpose of existence is that an individual can partake of true existence. Which means that he can partake of the ultimate existence, which is God. If he doesn't partake of the ultimate existence, which is God, and that's impossible in the haughty person whose egocentricity prevents him from going outside of himself, so he's Roy Lahargo. Roy Lahargo means that his existence is worthless. His existence is equal to his non-existence. You see? So Gaiva is something which can render an individual's existence completely worthless. That's the statement. That's the statement. So his existence is worthless. Because the only purpose of existence is for man to partake of the ultimate existence, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through his Tzelem Elokim. If he can't do that, so then his whole existence is worthless. Yep. V'omer she'en Hashem machayas ha-geyim b'tchias ha-meisim. Hu omem kolam she'esh bogas ha-zeruch ein afer nino. She'nem ha-kitzur ran lo shok mei ofa. Shok mei ofa lo nema lo shok mei ofa. Mi shenasa shochen la'ofar b'chaya, kloma ha'anovim, heim sheyechlu. The first case is talking about people who are essentially haughty. He says that person is Roy Lahargo. But it doesn't mean every person that has some haughtiness is Roy Lahargo. That doesn't make any sense. Anybody who has good qualities also? If he has good qualities also, so then you know he's not Roy Lahargo. But with regard to Tchias HaMeisim, he says the person must be an onov. If he's not an onov, that's why it says Shokhnei Afa. Shokhnei Afa means he who is an individual that feels close to Afa. Means he feels like he's nothing. So that individual is one that God is Machaya. Kolomar Anovim, Heim Sheyichyu. So you require the quality of Anova. It's not enough that, of course, if he's a Balgaiva, he's not going to have a But even if he's not a Balgaiva, even if he is a good person, he has a lot of good qualities, but he is not considered an Onof, he is not going to come back in Tchias HaNesim. So Tchias HaNesim is only for those who have acquired the Midah of Anova. Only for those who have acquired the Midah of Anova. So now we're out of that contradiction. But now it would be nice if we could see what is Tchias HaNesim really. Tchias HaNesim means that the individual that returns, it means that by the mere fact that he returns in that manner, you see, it signifies that his existence is only because of God. You see? In other words, in Tchias HaNesim, a person who returns to Tchias HaNesim, his very existence is brought about through the dictate of God. So therefore, what it means to say is that his very existence, he exists only because of God's will. In Tchias HaNesim, Tchias HaNesim is manifest that his existence is only directly because God wishes at this point in history that he should return. You see. So it's not possible for that concept is impossible for a haughty person. Because a haughty person doesn't look at himself as an object of the Creator, but he looks at himself as a subject. See, haughtiness demands that one not look at oneself as a mere object. That's what haughtiness doesn't want to hear. Haughtiness wants to believe that I am the subject. Subject means that I'm a gavra and my wishes, my will is something which can create and has power, you see? But when the direct opposite of haughtiness, of a subject, is to be an object. And Tchias HaNesim really is where the individual's return through God's intervention renders his whole existence as a mere object. So it's inappropriate for an individual who's haughty. Simply the process doesn't relate to him, doesn't make any sense. It's impossible for him to come by the Tchias HaNesim. It's not that it's an onesh. It's just an impossibility. He's outside of the concept of Tchias HaNesim. Because Tchias HaNesim is a humbling experience for the person that returns, because it means it's a manifestation of the fact that his whole existence is because of God's will. That's the concept of Tchias HaNesim. That's why really Tchias HaNesim is one of the Gimel Ikarim. It's one of the Ikarim. It's one of the Ikri Hados. Because why does a person deny Tchias HaNesim? A person denies Tchias HaNesim because a person feels that somehow or other He could. If a person denies Tchias HaNesim, he has no part in our Torah, because it means to say that he doesn't see in everyone that exists that their existence is completely determined by God's will. So therefore, he maintains that it's only through a process, through certain processes, that he exists. But these processes are not underlying. These processes is not directly God's will, and therefore he can't accept Tchias HaNesim. But Tchias HaNesim reflects that our very existence is simply a result of God's will, and therefore he, at a certain point in history, God's will would be such that he should exist, and since that's God's will, his existence will take place spontaneous existence. Cannot be for a haughty person. It's impossible. There's no place in this phenomenon. This phenomenon is simply unrelated. They say in the second brachas, second brachas, Chaya Mason means nothing more, that everything that exists, no matter how many processes are involved, but underlying all the processes is God's will. God's will is the processes should exist, but underlying the processes is God's will. It means that if God's will is such that at a certain point an individual's existence should be an object of his will, and the individual is simply that's the for the individual who is an honor of Tchias HaNesim is really something which is in line with his whole nature. Amar Mevafliga Vazem means that there are many, many places of Chazal talk about it. So they mention that the Negoyim, that a, we don't have that anymore, but in the time of the Mikdash, so when you had these Negoyim that were a result of Hashgachas Hashem, it was diseases that were caused by imperfection. They had to go to the Kohen, it was a whole different process. So that was in the time of the Mikdash, first Mikdash. So that the Gemara say, that Chazal say that the Goyim come from Gavas HaRuach, which means to say over there, what is Rama trying to say? Rama is trying to say, and also he says that Kol Dam Sheish Gavas HaRuach Shechinu Miyalala Salav, which means to say that it is a very prevalent force in man. See, that's what he says. He says, Ram ties led to Acha Omru, Omar Rava, Bashamta the Ispe, Bashamta the Lespe. Now the Ram is going to go into what exactly, how a person should really operate with regard to this emotion. But what he's trying to show over here, the Fligu Baze, is that you should know that the instinct towards haughtiness in man is a very powerful one. Not something which is just no one can escape it. Tremendously powerful force. And that's why a fliga was there means that they spoke about it a lot, because it's something which is very prevalent and is a part of our makeup. We have to recognize it and understand that it's an impossibility to escape this drive. The drive is found in everyone. And Chazal recognized that the drive is very so prevalent, and therefore they spoke out against it many times. That's what fliga was there. Okay. And the negoyim, the nega means the only nega means that it's the only illness which is caused by a spiritual defect, and Chazal say that defect basically is the defect of haughtiness. So it shows you the essence. The haughtiness lies at the essence of the defects in man. Almost everything can be traced to that drive. The drive of the ego, man's egocentricity, almost every chait can be traced to that drive in some way or another. Arayas of Adazara, it's at the core of everything. It's not just a side imperfection. It's a central imperfection. Man's egocentricity is the core of his imperfection. That's why it's by Negoyim, because Negoyim is the only illness which is an illness because of a spiritual defect that we had in the time of the Mikdash. No one went to the Kain and the whole halachic system over there. So that was, but that, the Chazal say, stemmed from the Gavas HaRuach. So what he's showing you is that it's central in man's personality, in man's nature. That's why he says, Adcha Omru. Now he goes from this point, he goes into the last point. How should a person really deal with this emotion? It's a powerful emotion. We have this emotion. I mean, we have to cope with it. We have to recognize it. We have to cope with it. How should a person cope with it? So Chazal discussed this. So he said like this. He says, Acha Amru means it is so prevalent, so central, that this is what they said. This is what Chazal said. They gave a formula. Amar Rava. B'shamta d'isbe, b'shamta d'lasbe. A person should be in cherem if he has this, if he has haughtiness, or if he doesn't have haughtiness. Wrote to Lama, it's like this. Shagamein roi lintos to shiflus uruk wagamri. Shouldn't become totally on the side of self-effacement and self-debasement, where a person feels inferior, totally inferior. He says, "Lefi she'ein zemen amaylos," because that's not perfection. V'shiru azeh b'derech mashal. Says they gave a mashal for this, the funny mashal. Chelak mishishim v'arba, 164. Kloma and nasan as a gaiva b'katzah echad. If you take haughtiness and put it on one side, the shiflus aruch b'katzah she'ini. You take self-effacement on the other side, and you break that up into 64 different divisions, yamod, different units, yamod ha'odam b'chele kashishim v'sholosh. Person should be on the 63rd. V'lo rov matzeya b'mida azu Dafka, because they lahachit when I gave them. The reason why they said you should do it is because in order to avoid gaiva. Shem Chisa Chelek when it's Kav Vagai V'Yosa, Arei Nichlas to Lechor HaShemba. Because if he's going to go any closer to 164, he's liable to enter Gaiva. Zu Oysa Das Rava Banova. That's what Rava thought, he says. Av Rav Nachman Hichlik, Rav Nachman decided otherwise. Vama Shein Roy B'Shem Ponim Sheyehe Bodim Men Aklom Men Agaiva, Lo Chelek Kutten V'Lo Chelek Gadol. Not at all. The fish ain't on Shamuot, because it's a destructive tendency, it's destructive results, and not small. Mido she'oses adam tovas Hashem, a mido that can make a person an abomination of God, echoy leskarvlo, how can we approach it even? Amru bin zem, rav nachma yitzchak, lo mino v'lo mektsasa, mizuta ma'irachsiv tovas Hashem v'go v'leiv, v'mach maschom orvan azelma, ma'od mod ha'vishpah ruch, sh'tikvaz, okay, that's the list. So he says, yes. So he says that the so it's interesting. It's machlokas amaraya, machlokas amaraya. One says 164th, and one says nothing. All right. So how do you want to see what they recognize here is like this? What they recognize here, the base of this whole conversation, this whole discussion that Chazal had, is one concept. Is one concept. The concept is that there's a difference between the psychological and the philosophical perfection. See? The psychological and the philosophical. We always try to achieve psychological perfection and then philosophical. But over here is tremendous danger. Because the psychological, person can be psychologically well, but if he misses philosophically, is it the purpose of his entire existence, of course he understands worthless. That's the difference between philosophy and psychology. So therefore, what they say is that what Rava said was, Rava maintained like this. Rava maintained that from a psychological standpoint, he has to partake somewhat of ego. He has to partake somewhat of ego. But he said 164th. 164th means to say that a very small amount, you see, as long as he's not in danger, as long as he's not in danger of that ego distorting his view of reality. So he can't partake of it to some degree. Only in a very minimal amount. In other words, the machlokus is whether or not there is a safe level of ego. That's the machlokus. If there is a safe level, so you should do it. Because psychologically, it's difficult, it's painful for a person not to partake of ego. But if it endangers him philosophically, so then he has to forego that psychological enjoyment. And he has to forego because he has to. The only method he could do is, and as I mentioned before, the whole. You see, we're not talking about over here. We're not talking about a state of depression. State of depression is an unhealthy state. That is not good. But the purpose of man is, as we mentioned before, anova is in between. In between could be two things. Either it could be emotionally in between. It means there are two pulls from either direction. Or else in between means neutral. It means all the energy is directed towards a higher level. So the ultimate level, the philosophical perfection, is where all the energy is directed towards appreciation of God's Chachma. But you have to understand, a person is a psychological being, he can't always be in that state. He can be in that state at certain times, but he can't always be in that state. So the question is, when he's not in that state, so what should his psychological makeup be? So one mandama said it's okay if he partakes of it in a safe amount. He gave a marshal, 164th. 164th means that it's a very small amount that's safe. That's what he means. That's the marshal. Marshal means that a person should be very cautious and realize that it's a dangerous emotion, so he should only partake of it to some small degree, very small degree. And then, so far as his psychological makeup is concerned, he's satisfying it, but of course the ultimate state is the philosophical state, where he's completely devoid, his energy is not concerned about the self whatsoever, you see, that is the ultimate state of perfection. However, till he reaches that state, or when he's not involved in perception of Chokhmas Hashem, so he has to find some type of psychological well-being. So he could partake of it to a very small degree. That's what Rav held, basically. But Rav Nachman disagreed with Rav. He held that any amount whatsoever, partaking of that emotion to any degree whatsoever, is a dangerous It's a dangerous business. So therefore he maintained that a person must, insofar as he's not really perfected, insofar as he's not, his emotions aren't involved, aren't directed towards the higher level of perception of God and involved in Chochmas Hashem, he has to be in a frustrated state.